Is like anything that I said, I thought that I was preparing for, I lost. And so that's when I said, when I don't have money in my hands, that's what I mean. Like all of these things that I was slowly preparing for over time, and though I have proof, I have my pictures or stuff, all of that is in my old Apple, which is lost. It was like so random that most of everything that I had in Texas was either lost or taken from me. And once I came back, I came with like very little clothes, and it was like I had to start all over again from scratch. And I said that that was a bad thing, because when I started over, it was like I had new vision even for the old things. Like, say if God really wanted us to get that stuff back, I wouldn't look at it the same. It would be totally different. If I had pillows, covers, things that when I was in U-Haul I was buying because it was to my knowledge, I truly believed that I was going to get that house, you know? And you have to go back and listen to the other episodes to understand that. But I truly 100% believed that I was going to get that house, and I was going to get me a place to stay for my children. And my children still to this day, the number one experience. They don't talk about anything else. They talk about moving to Texas. They talk about moving back home, seeing their family. But the number one experience that they talk about is the peace that they felt when they was in the U-Haul. And I don't care what anybody says, whether they feel like it was stolen or not, my children needed that. Because up until that point, they didn't tell me. They was like, I hate that we're surrounded by people that everybody we move with either complain about your mom or me. They complain, and then you sit and you look sad and you cry. And it was at that point of where I was just like, I don't want to stay with anybody else. I really did not want to move back in with my mom at that hotel. That's why I was just like, how is it crazy? And I was like, God, if you was to send me a man, why would you send me somebody right now? Like, I'm not even in a place where it's desirable to myself. Like, I've had houses, I've had cars, and I have nothing to show for it right now. Like, why would you send my husband, and I have nothing? I have sent up, and it's very simplified, like, I don't understand. It was just like the honest encouragement or the person who loved me. If I was just seeing a person who loved me, then I am so clearly so depressed that I mean that upset. I was so depressed that all of these actions take place and there's so many people laughing at me. And if I could call these last 3 years or whatever a perfect example of being laughed at by individuals who I thought had my back, who I thought, like, is one person who's coming to my mind right now. And not to say that she didn't, but she sure didn't laugh to me. She didn't laugh in my face. She may have said, girl, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't understand, but she did not laugh in my face. She didn't call me stupid, retarded, she didn't make fun of me, she didn't call me names. And this person I've been friends with for a long time, she may have didn't understand my actions, she may have didn't understand where I am at in life, and my God handle, because she also mentioned, she was like, you're still the same person, carrying a quiet girl, sit in the corner, don't go nowhere, don't talk to nobody, read your Bible, talk to God. And she was like, even though I don't understand it, you're the same person. And I'm like, I'm sort of like, you know, I do go out, trying to explain myself, but really I don't. I'm saving the visual, like, I don't get on the trail, I don't try to. But this is one person. And one person that came to my mind, that came to my help. And It's just not. Because I had all these best friends, all of this family, all of these people. And I'm not saying, I'm not speaking against their name, because they are who they are. They learned what they learned. I learned the lesson, and still learning. And I'm not saying that those people will never be in my life again, but what I'm saying is, I was so quick to call them friends, and know that in this specific individual, over the what? However long that we've known each other since we went to school together, we got in one altercation, and then we fell out, and we quickly made up, and it was about her brother, and it was something simple. But since then, it was just like, we've been inseparable. And we may not have like the gaps to fill in the space, but this one person I can get to, I can call her, and I may not understand her life, she may not understand my life and where we at, but we always catch up, we always talk, and we always, our children of course, and they talk to each other at school. Her life moves on forward, my life moves forward, but you know, I pray for her, even though she doesn't understand. Long story short, it's individuals like that I feel like more in my career, and I just want more understanding and guidance. I want more help, and I don't want the help that's forced, the help that I had before, or where people be like, well, you either accept my help or else, or it's one of the two, or they get offended because I don't want to accept their help at that moment, because God has me on a different path. No, because they may be older, and they've lived life, and they understand, and they know that God doesn't work like this, but they don't know everything, and neither do I. But I do know this, and don't quote me on this, but God can make a miracle happen in a young person's life that an older person or the older generation never ever seen, ever, ever. So to sit there and tell me that God doesn't operate like this, I may listen, it may get me down, it may fight, keep me off track, but I'm standing steady. And just like my house, I once had belief, but now I'm grateful. Just like my future husband, so to speak, I once had belief, but now I'm grateful. And even if those two things never come, or even if they do, especially when it pertains to my kids' spouse, I don't want to be wavering on nothing when this person comes, because whether I'm a stranger, faithful, we're both individualized, we're both balanced, because we're both learning, we're on the same level. I do not want to be wavering in faith, because when I tell you, all it takes is the smallest seed to put in either his or my ear, or even the children, and be like a ripple effect, and it'll mess our whole relationship up. I don't want to be that type of person. That's why I say I want to be friends with the individual that I'm coming to. And why I say that is because I've had a hard time talking to males in my life because of the molestation, because of the abuse, because of the misuse, the mistreatment. And I'm pretty sure in the opposite end, he's had the same thing. That's why I want friendship first before anything, because what happens when our identities are stripped? What happens when people come with proof saying, oh, well, your spouse used to do this and used to do that? Because people can make up lies, people can fabricate things, okay, and make it seem like it's the truth. So what happens when people come with quote unquote truth? When you trust that person, or when you have their back, you can be that individual and say, so, like, somebody can come to you and be like, Your husband shot this person, and they got that girl in jail, and here's proof because they're on video, and here's where the girls, and all they showed me was just like a little clip of a person, like, of him, quote unquote, walking in the store, you know. But I knew in my heart that day that he was with me, you know, type of thing, and, or he did this, and I would still fully trust in this individual and in myself that I won't walk, that I won't go back, that I won't detour from this individual because God has been in this person in my life because we've both been abused, we've both been manipulated, tortured, abandoned, and I don't want this, I don't want to do this to this person, you know, I don't want this person to feel manipulated, hurt, abused, like I lied to them, because God's name is truth. Ever since I've been on this path in 2020, I have told the truth. I have not told from the fact about the pregnancy, and to speak about that, because I know that there could be some concerns about, like, well, what's the truth and what's not. I told the truth about my pregnancy. I had contractions. When I left Texas, I had contractions. That's why I thought I was pregnant. And I felt movement in my belly since then. It wasn't before. I told the truth about that. And people say I'm crazy, though, that I would think of a story, a concocted story about this, about life, about pregnancy, about this marriage, this whole manipulation thing, just to manipulate a person. But I would never do that because that God wouldn't allow it. Why would I go on the path to seek the God above all names, and then I go into a relationship with him, and then I fall out in life and come up with this big old lie, like, just so you can assume that I'm crazy. But I had contractions. Still to this day, for some reason, our occurrences, I have contractions. I feel where my back hurt, my stomach hurt. I touch my stomach a lot because of the fact that when I'm walking, it hurts and it feels like I'm about to give birth, and I never do. I don't understand it. I'm totally confused as to what it is or what it is about. I have some issues with the thoughts that I have because, ever since then, it's always like, you're gonna get birth, you're gonna get birth, there's still babies there, in my dreams. I've been in dream marks about a little girl, light skin, really pretty, exactly to this date, still dreams about giving birth. It is multiples. It's like it changed. And so I'm confused, and I started talking to it, so I shut down about it. You know, my podcast is my only outlet that so far to this date, March 26, 2024, I've been so open because I'm totally clueless as the partners that's listening to me. And I refuse to say that I don't need the comment because I don't know how to yet, but it's my escape. It's my platform. Well, I don't really care who's listening. I want somebody out there to trust me and to understand my voice and my opinion and my story. But people are, is until results are there, until proof of it is there, until the doctors who are not 100% correct, they've told lies themselves. And if I can be completely honest, they can come with a result and say you have 3 days to live, and God says, this ain't your time. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? God is the name above all names, not your doctor, not your pill. So I'm confused as to my spirituality journey and where I feel like it's God's voice that's guiding me and telling me, you know, be pregnant and to be careful because I do take precautions. I kid y'all not. Up until that moment of where I felt the conception, or I felt like I got pregnant, I couldn't even, I couldn't lay on my stomach. And I have not been able to. I lay either on my back or on my hips, and they're starting to hurt. But they feel like they are dislocating, so I can't get comfortable at all. And so as not a day goes by that I can't sleep and have like endlessly sleep where my body just, I'm gonna say, lay in a straight position. But yeah, it hurts to sleep because I can't lay on my stomach. If I turn too much in regards to trying to lay on my stomach, it sort of hurts because I feel like this pressure in my back. And I've heard before that you can carry babies in your back, but it's been way, way past the time of conception because I haven't had sex. And I don't even remember the last date when I did have sex, to be honest. It's been past the conception, like I said. There's nobody that's belief, there's no proof, there's no doctor that's out there willing to go back saying, here are your test results, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that's when people listen. People don't listen when you're out there crying for help and you're helpless and you feel like there is nowhere to turn. People only, well, okay, so now that she's dead, I did an autopsy. Now that she's in critical condition, I did a biopsy or whatever, and it shows that she has XYZ, and what she was talking about was true, or he, or their mind, it wasn't their mental condition. There it is, blah, blah, blah. So that's when people start running, and they come to you, and they go, oh, God, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. I didn't listen to you. No, you're not. Back off. Get out of my face. And I wouldn't be like that, but individually, personalized. I feel so against myself because I know that once the proof come out, if the truth was, or if the truth is the case that I randomly give birth in the adding process, because here's the thing, in my personal opinion, and who am I to judge, but from what my thoughts gather and what I have been hearing is, the baby won't come because I haven't had sex. Because I haven't had intercourse. You have intercourse to have a baby put in the position. You have a baby to get it out. Especially when it's past the conception date. They usually perform like a surgery in which where there's no proof, you can't surgically input or take out anything. So what's the only other option? Sex. And what have I been celibate? I haven't had any sex. I haven't had any intercourse. So therefore, it's the course of masturbation. And I don't even want to talk about that because I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. You can masturbate and have a baby. I totally clueless. But I've heard like a push lately. I feel from this time, from this point, and I felt my stomach drop recently. That only happens in the third trimester. And where my stomach drop is pain in my vagina, like I have to readjust myself, like it's so odd because like my belly is sitting on top of it, and like I have to like push my my vagina. That meat that's right there. I feel so embarrassed. But I have to readjust that because it hurts. Because it hurts with me walking. Because I feel like there's a massive amount of pressure. Now, don't quote me on this. But I may have lonely once or twice and masturbate, and in result to that, the depressive thoughts, that's when that occurred. That's when that pressure, that's when after that, I think it was like the first 2 times or the first 3 times, it was like I felt that drop. And I even woke up one day out of my sleep and I was like, it dropped, my stomach dropped. And I was just like in a dizzy state and I just said that and I was like, I immediately woke up and I was like, what was I saying? Like, my stomach dropped, I'm not even pregnant, what's wrong with me? And I was like, it's impossible. And like, I kid y'all not, I cannot walk. I cannot walk. I have to constantly, like, people look at me and like, I was in the store the other day and I was talking to this individual and I felt so off because like, I felt like I had to readjust my stomach and like, when I readjust my stomach, it doesn't pull up like that. I don't know how to explain it with my vagina, so I have to like, I have thick thighs, so I have to move my leg or readjust my leg to try to get comfortable to even stand. Still, like, it hurts. I can't explain it. But nobody has had this experience. Life moves on, so I stay quiet. And I still to this day, I stick to my story. You know, I have my first sex. I refuse to have to go out there and have sex with another individual. Other than my husband, and it has to be proof. Like, I have to know that this person has to come to me. It has to be because I've failed before, and that's sort of the instance, and it's pertaining to the babies and until it recovers, because life of conception is after so long. I mean, I heard so many things, y'all. I cannot. Don't quote me on this because I'm recording, and I honestly don't want to post this because I'm doing so. I would say, okay. This is based off of my thoughts, okay? I told y'all before that God, energy, how he speaks to most individuals is through their thoughts. And I'm just gonna lower my voice because I feel so embarrassed by me to even be talking about this because I don't let this out, I don't talk to anybody, but this is my outlet. Okay. So, from the time of conception, it's been constantly in my thoughts of these babies don't exist. And not to say that they wasn't there from the time of conception, is if they were more tubal. Okay? I don't know anything about tubal pregnancies. They runs in my family. I know that I learned that after the fact that I had the dream about the girl and the boy. And the laborer dying, and I told y'all the angel left with the little boy and said that he'll be back. And out of that, I talked about that in my previous podcast episodes. Don't quote me on this because, like I said, this is just part of my crazy thoughts, crazy person's thoughts, okay? That it's from the tubal that it came out, and then life, I guess, didn't matter. Even to the point of where I pushed, and that didn't happen until I came to Tennessee. So, once I came to Tennessee, there was like this huge pressure on me to push, to make something of myself, to get back on my feet. Like, I had Pacific individuals like, girl, you came back home, it's mostly because you failed, so you need to get yourself back up for your children, and all this whiplash, and et cetera, et cetera. And I felt that because I was like, I was depressed and I was upset, and I talked about that in an episode where I was in a hospital, talking about my room, I would go back and listen, you would have to go back and scroll back and listen to the episodes if you really enjoy the previous episodes. This is the longest of when I'm posting daily. Maybe come back the second post this. What happened was, from that pressure, I was told that once I hit Tennessee, That's why I feel contractions in that December, but it doesn't make sense because a year has passed since I've had those contractions badly. And don't quote me on this, because that's why I need to go buy diapers, because I swore I was getting both. And I can count on my hand, a single hand, how many times I've had terrible contractions like that, okay? Once was June, before the rash broke out. Once was here, and now. Up until that point, it's been mild to moderate feeling of contraction by when, okay? So, I'm totally pleased with the pregnancy and how that works, and tuning in and everything, but I felt like the baby dropped. As to clueless or babies or whatever, I'm clueless as to how far that goes, because after that, you're supposed to give birth by random, and I haven't yet. So I'm so clueless as to the pressure, and this is pretty cool. So I may post this like 2 months later, but this is March. 2024 is like 7:26 p.m. And I haven't been recording anything, so to speak, on the thing. But if you need that much proof, then you can just leave, because you're totally clueless. You can probably be one of those people that's going to call me down. Like others have, which I expect that. But that's when I started having, when I came down here, is when I started having heart tremors, and it was like a few months after I had went to the hospital about it. I have heart tremors now. As far as the vaginal exams, don't quote me on this, I'm not for sure, but here's another thing that was also quote unquote in my thoughts. Because they did not do an initial exam on my stomach, they said that they saw a huge problem, but they didn't look behind it, okay? So that's what I heard, that's what I was told through my thoughts, okay? Okay, they did a vaginal exam to where they stuck a thing up in my vagina to see if I was pregnant, right? And that was the only two or three exams that was done. No, the first one was a doctor. That was when I had first went to go get the blood test. She stuck her fingers up in me, and she was like, "No, you're not pregnant, because I would feel the sack. I would feel the sack." And I was like, "That's not the case. I feel it. I'm being told, you know, there's twins. Upon the boy, I'm being told." And I didn't really tell her, because, you know, she'd look at me like I'm crazy, and she'd be like, you need to go to a mental institution. At that time, that's what it was. I was being told that it was a girl and a boy, up until the point where my mother had the dream, and she was like, the boy is in danger. Up until that point, my mama never mentioned any kids, and like I said, it's a pattern. My mother always sees my children before I do, usually, before it comes out that I'm pregnant. And so she said that, she gave me that dream the same day that I went to the hospital. Like I said, I felt sick. I threw up at that point. I thought that I was in danger, like that day, as I was at the hospital, but I was so dead. I was dead set on proof. And I was like, I'm going to give the daddy what he wants. If he wants to see proof, I have to prove to everybody in my family that I am pregnant. I have to prove it, because this is crazy. I said, it's not possible that you could give birth to a child or children that can't be seen. And I've heard of people giving birth and not having periods, or not knowing that they were pregnant, or not being told and all that, but never a child, like coming up, like pregnancy tests, a blood test, an ultrasound, like a child being hidden, never. So, like I said, up until that point, and then after that, there was no more talks about twins, a little boy. Once my mother told me about that dream, and that day when I went to the hospital that specific day, and where an angel visited me and took the little boy and said, I'll be back. And all of that happened, the strange occurrence was in like the same week, okay? I went to the hospital, my mama told me, and then that, okay? So,